This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, Dr. Carpenter. This is Don Hussey with Loving the Earth Pollution Free Radio. Let's get started by having an introduction from you for the listeners.
Yes, I'm David Carpenter. I'm the director of the Institute for Health and the Environment at the University of Albany. I'm a public health physician and teacher.
Here's the first question. Children are being diagnosed with breast cancer in the United States. The New York State Cancer Registry maintains records of cancer cases reported throughout our state here in New York. During the five-year period, 2002 through 2006, 12 cases of breast cancer were diagnosed among girls 15 to 19 years of age. A 10-year-old was recently diagnosed with breast cancer in California. What is known about the effects of dioxin exposure that would help to explain why girls in the U.S. are getting breast cancer?
Well, dioxin is known to be a human carcinogen. And when girls get breast cancer at such a young age, this is very strongly suggestive of their exposure occurring even before birth. We do know that breast cancer is a disease that is related to hormones, the female hormone estrogen, but girls before the age of puberty are not going to have been exposed to a great deal of estrogen. They, however, can be exposed even before birth to carcinogens like dioxin that are general carcinogens. So dioxin is known to increase the risk of every kind of cancer. And the big concern is that dioxin is present in so many of our foods. It's a fat-soluble compound. It's present in almost all animal fats. And it exerts its effect, especially during development, and that gets expressed then as cancer in young girls that are much too young to have developed breast cancer by the mechanisms that we know to be more common in adult women.
So basically what you're saying is that such as, there was a study done in 2002 reported, it was in the research literature in 2002 by Dr. Linda Birnbaum and Dr. Suzanne Fenton, these two EPA scientists, and they found that when rats, this was an animal model, they found that when these rats were exposed to dioxins when they were burying young, that the female offspring were put at a higher risk of developing breast cancer. This whole matter of, is what you're talking about, this whole matter of this predisposing due to an in utero exposure to dioxin, predisposing to develop cancer at a later stage in life?
That's absolutely right. And the reason that the fetus is so very vulnerable is that that's the time when the cells are developing, the cells that will ultimately give rise to breast tissue. And it's a particularly vulnerable time. The other important time is that at a puberty itself. But this early life exposure, it does increase the risk of cancer. And if it does so in rats, there's every reason to be confident that it does the same thing in humans. And that seems to be a very likely explanation for the appearance of breast cancer in such very young girls.
Well, thank you for all this clarity on what, you know, how the dioxins are involved and, you know, just what is taking place in these women's bodies. Our second question. Cancer Action New York submitted a petition to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in 2004 requesting rulemaking that would serve to decrease dioxin exposure for all American children that are eating any of these animal-fed foods. We asked for a rule that would require labeling of meat, dairy products, and eggs so as to inform the consumer of the dioxin contaminant present in these foods. Additionally, we requested a rule banning the feeding of animal fat to food animals. FDA has not taken a single step toward establishing these rules. It's been all those years, from 2004 to 2009, nearly 2010, nearly 6 years. It is currently attempting to discourage our organization from pursuing action on the petition. If FDA were to ban the use of animal fat in the production of animal feeds, Would this not reduce the exposure of American children to chemicals that cause cancer?
Absolutely, it would dramatically reduce the exposure of American children and adults to carcinogenic chemicals. The major exposure to dioxin and dioxin-like chemicals comes from our consumption of animal fats. And the major source of the dioxin in the animal fats, while it used to be that dioxin was spewing out of power plants and municipal incinerators and then falling on the fields where the food for the animals is grown, that's pretty well stopped. Our Clean Air Act has dramatically reduced the formation and release of dioxin from the process of incineration and regulated combustion. We still do have one source of dioxin exposure, which is people that burn their plastic trash in a burn barrel in the backyard. And that does go into the air and can get into the animal food. But the major source of the dioxin that appears in the animal fats is because commercial meat-producing, milk-producing, egg-producing operations feed the animals waste animal fats. Now, cows aren't normally a carnivorous animal, nor are chickens, nor are pigs. But they grow more rapidly if their diet includes high concentrations of fat. And for purely economic purposes, we now routinely in commercial food animal production feed these non-carnivorous animals waste animal fat. Well, that waste animal fat is where all the dioxins are. Now, the reasons for doing this are totally financial. First of all, there is a waste fat that's not of other use from slaughtering of animals. It used to be that cow fat was fed back to cows, but then mad cow disease came along, and we decided that it wasn't a good idea to feed cows cow fat. So we now feed the waste cow fat to the pigs and the chickens. We feed the waste pig and chicken fat to the cows. We feed, especially the chickens, a lot of fish meal, fish oil, which is highly contaminated. And so we are distributing these chemicals that were produced years and years ago, but remain in our food supply because of this recycling of waste animal fats. The solution is a very simple one. That is to stop feeding waste fats to animals that where either the animal itself or the eggs or the milk or the other products from the animals that contain fat are used for human consumption. The only reason not to do that is that it makes it a little more expensive to obtain the meat, the eggs, the milk, because the animals don't grow as rapidly and have to be fed other grains or foodstuffs. But most of those other foodstuffs do not contain significant amounts of dioxin. It's purely a financial problem, but the impact of that problem is on the health of children and adults and everybody that buys their groceries from the supermarket.
Well, this brings us to another aspect of this whole situation with dioxins in the food supply. Why is FDA resisting bringing an end to this feeding practice that imposes unnecessary dioxin exposure on Americans when we look to FDA for protection from these types of things? When that was the purpose of the establishment of the Food and Drug Administration, why is FDA doing this when it's their job to do this simple thing? I'm sure these FDA scientists understand this as clearly as you and I do. Why don't they do their job?
Well, our system of government is one where government agencies like FDA are still political entities. They are agencies of the government, so they are under the supervision of the executive and the legislative branches. as well as the judicial. So the real problem is with our elected representatives. If our elected representatives would take this to the FDA and demand that FDA outlaw feeding animal fats to animals, that would happen. But our elected representatives also get input from the industries that benefit from feeding waste animal fats to animals. And I've had some personal experience with how this works. I've served on a National Academy of Science panel that dealt with dioxin in the U.S. food supply. And like almost all such panels, that was a, quote, balanced panel. So it had representatives from the pork industry, the beef industry, and other industries, as well as the chemical industries, and certainly scientists, health scientists. But the reality is that industry has more money and has more influence on our legislative process, our executive elected officials, and they are the ones really that that dictate the policies of government agencies like the FDA. So this is an issue where, like many other issues that relate to health outcome, if the public doesn't demand action, the money that's provided to individuals for their reelection is going to determine how our representatives vote, what kind of pressure they bring on to the various branches of government, including the FDA.
So in other words, girls are going to continue to get breast cancer in the United States because of the way our economy and the way our political system works.
That's absolutely right. And the only way to reverse that is to inform the public, have the public demand of their elected representatives that steps be taken to remove these waste animal fats from the food supply.
Well, certainly your interview here will serve to begin educating several, you know, numerous more people about this issue, and hopefully it'll just keep on growing. Last question. What can mothers do to reduce the dioxin exposure of their children and themselves?
Well, there are many things that mothers can do. Now, there are also some limits on what mothers can do. The amount of dioxin in food supply is going to be a function of where the animal was raised and how it was fed. Organically raised animals are going to have much lower exposure than standard commercial animals. The problem is, of course, that organically grown foods are more expensive, and they're not often as widely available. So this is an option that that may be possible for more affluent people, but may not be possible, especially in current economic times, for many people. The dioxins are entirely in the fat. So there's going to be almost no dioxin in skim milk, and there's going to be dioxin in whole milk, especially if it's not an organic whole milk. Some people, and I'm one of those, am fortunate enough to live in an area where I can raise a lot of my own food. I have beef cattle, and I know they are not fed waste animal fats. That's, of course, not realistic for many people. But we all eat too much fat anyhow. So reducing your fat consumption, removing fat from meats, buying organic foods when you can, drinking skim milk rather than whole milk. These are all things that one can do to reduce your exposure.
Well, and that's a lot that people can do. That's quite a, you know, quite a good counsel that you've given the American public. Well, I feel that we've covered this issue to the extent that people can learn a lot and be ready to go on. So let's say goodbye and get this on the air.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you, Don.
Thank you, Dr. Cover. I hope you have
my
a great
pleasure.
Great rest of the week. Bye.
Bye.